Hi, everybody. Welcome to Increasingly Lax here on In Lacrosse We Trust. I am your host, Todd McAwee. Hopefully, everybody emerged from St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's Day weekend unscathed. Falling on a Monday can get a bit dangerous as a weekend of festivities usually ensues. Also, hopefully, all of you are hard at work. No, not at your actual jobs, but filling out your NCAA tournament brackets. Remember, the actual tournament starts Thursday. None of this garbage about the first four in, so on and so forth. Get your brackets in by noon Thursday. And for what it's worth, I have Michigan State winning it all. Go Sparty. A lot to get to. What happened, Johns Hopkins? How can you win 21 of 25 faceoffs, get 8 goals from one of your star attackmen, Ryan Brown, and still lose at home to Syracuse 12-10? Just shows you how much talent the Orange actually have, that they can surrender the ball that many times, recover, and essentially go down score. They shot 40% for the game, only turned the ball over, I want to say, 7 times. Syracuse is a dangerous team, but they're so mercurial, you know. One day the faceoffs are going to come back to bite them. You know, they have an off-night shooting, off-day, off-night shooting, and suddenly they're going to find themselves down 12-5 with 5 minutes left. That's what happened to them against Maryland and Virginia. Albany, what happened? Actually, you know what? Big ups to Bryant. You tamed the beast, holding Albany to 11 goals after a 25-goal effort. Bryant's a team to be reckoned with. They're looking like they're going to be an NCAA tournament outfit, have some quality wins under their belt, and not the toughest schedule in front of them. So keep an eye out for Bryant. Also keep an eye out for Cornell if you haven't been already. The Big Red is still undefeated, up to number 3 in the polls, and have to be the odds-on favorite to win the Ivy League. Hopkins at Virginia this weekend, a big game for both teams, both coming off losses. Virginia lost at home to Notre Dame. Traditionally, these have been very tight games, and I'd expect more of the same from what has to be two desperate teams, both with tough roads ahead. Now we'll get to my interview with Duke's Brendan Fowler. I conducted it on Monday before the team headed downstate to Furman. Actually, I think Furman's in South Carolina for their game. We got to everything from face-offs to his brother on the team to Coach K filling out tournament bracket and the dynamic of athletes at Duke. Enjoy.
Hello?
Hello, Brendan. It's Todd McAwee from Increasingly Lax. How are you doing?
Hey, good, Todd. How are you doing?
Not bad. Did you guys get snow down there today?
Yeah, it's snowing or kind of like a little rain of snow right now, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it is up here in Maryland, too. I'm ready for it. Typically, I like winter. I like snowboarding and things like that, but I'm ready for it to be over now.
Yeah, and it was just 70 when we played on Saturday. Now it's going to be snowing for practice and stuff.
Let's talk about Saturday's win. How big of a victory was that for you guys?
It was huge. You know, always. I mean, any ACC game is a big game, but especially UNC. You know, the Duke UNC rivalry kind of speaks for itself in all sports. But it was just a big win for us. You know, coming off two tough losses. You know, the number 1 and 2 teams in the country.
Right.
Just nice to get back on track with a win over a big opponent.
Talking about Duke lacrosse a little earlier, or over the weekend, actually, excuse me. It seems like every year, you know, February, March, you guys suffer 1 or 2 losses, get in a little bit of a swoon, and then manage to recover. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's because this year we actually started off a lot better than we did this February in particular, 4-0, but then we had obviously lost our first 2 games in March. But
right.
I think it's because we kind of try to develop everyone throughout the season. You know, we don't have all our best plays, all our best offensive sets, everything on defense. We don't have everything in on game one. You know, we get better as the season goes on. More things come in. We change more things we do. So I think we're always getting better. We kind of try to plan our season to peak in May, not in February or March.
Right, and you guys also, I mean, you front-load your schedule. It's kind of like Michigan State basketball. You're not playing the Little Sisters of the Poor every mm-hmm. weekend like you guys are going to Loyola and tough non-conference schools.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, coach always likes to, you know, kind of get right into it. You know, we had Denver our second game.
Right.
Then we had Penn State, we broke in 2 games in 3 days, and right to Maryland, right to Loyola, 2 bus trips in a row. So, yeah, everyone comes here. You know, you want to play the best teams in the country. That's why guys want to play here. So, but it's definitely challenging early in the season.
Do you think it puts everybody, I don't want to say at ease, but gives everybody, you know, a refreshed sense of confidence then going into the tournament that we played these caliber of teams, you know, outside of our conference all year long?
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. I mean, every year we look at the tournament, usually we've played maybe 8 of the teams that are in it besides us, 9 of the teams that are in it. So you're always confident to know that you've been playing the top teams in the country, you know, throughout the season. You definitely feel prepared come end of April, May.
What was it like for you being named most outstanding player of the tournament last year? I mean, you're a face-off guy, and sometimes those are the forgotten guys of lacrosse.
It was really cool. You know, it's really a team thing. If you would have looked at our team last year, if you would have looked at all our playoff games, you know, it could have been someone had a breakout game every week. You know, whether it was Dave Lawson with 5 goals in Notre Dame in the quarterfinals, you know, Casey Mathias with the winning goal of West Loyola the first week. I mean, Syracuse happened to be, you know, in my day, I kind of shine, but it was, it could have been anyone. It was really cool. But for me, the team win was a lot more important, to me than winning it, but definitely doesn't stink to win a most outstanding player, which was cool.
Stepping outside your team, Syracuse just beat Hopkins, and they won 4 of 25 faceoffs. Can you imagine that? I mean, how does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's I don't know. It's sometimes faceoffs can dictate a game, but not always. It depends on, you know, the way the games go and the style of play the teams play.
Right.
Teams like to get up and down like that. They're not always as big of a deal. But yeah. It just speaks how good of players they have on the offense and defense side of the ball. If they can pull out a win over a team like that, you know, going 4 for 25 at the X.
Where are you guys this year? I mean, as a team, say compared to last year, where do you think you are? How do you measure up to last year's team?
I don't know. I think our attack, we have a lot of our guys back. You know, I think our attack and defense are pretty much all back. You know, I mean, trade Billy Connor for Casey Carroll. But they're all back and they're all a year older and better. So I think we're our attack and defense, I'd say we're better than last year. I mean, we lost a lot of stud middies, but we have a lot of younger guys who are starting to come around and get it. You know, Kyle Keenan in a huge game for us with 3 goals versus UNC Saturday. It's awesome to see him breaking out. He's worked really hard for a while, you know, and sat behind a lot of older guys. So it's good to see him breaking through, you know, Miles Jones, Deemer Class, all playing great. So the younger guys, you know, I think at the beginning of the season, they were, still getting used to being like the number one guys, you know, the big guys for us. But towards the end here, I think they're really starting to break through. So hopefully towards the end of the season, be just like last year.
What's it like watching Jordan day in and day out in practice?
It's pretty cool. Jordan's fast. You know, he's he does some things in practice, you know, sometimes where he scores goals, everyone kind of looks at each other and is like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, he's so quick and athletic. He just has, you know, you play with a lot of good players, but a guy who's a freak athlete like him, you see, he does some things, you just kind of, everyone kind of looks and is wild. So it's definitely fun playing with him every day. You know, you see a lot of awesome stuff on a daily basis.
How many times has he scored on your brother?
On my brother? Probably a good amount. A good amount.
How much do you enjoy having your brother on the team? I mean, was that something during his recruiting process that he talked to you about? How did that all come about?
It's really cool to have him. Obviously, he wanted to come here. You know, Duke's great academic school. You know, but yeah, it's been really cool having him here, getting to play on the same team as him. You know, practice with him every day, eat with him, hang out with him all the time, having him at school. It's been awesome. I really enjoyed it.
What was it like for you guys growing up in the backyard? Were there battles? Was it more, you know, football battles? What was it like?
He actually started playing goalie. When I first started playing lacrosse, I would just throw him in the net in the backyard and shoot at him. And one day he just, like, borrowed a goalie stick from someone we knew or something, and next thing you knew, he ended up being a goalie, which is pretty crazy. My brother Jack is in high school now. We always went at it in sports in the backyard all the time, but I think that's how we started playing goalie.
Have you ever played goalie?
Not really. I mean, maybe a summer game here or there, but nothing too serious.
These guys are crazy. I've got, like you, the same thing, summer game or an indoor game or something with a softball. I can't imagine doing it for, you know, 60 minutes against the best players in the world every week.
Yeah, no, definitely crazy. You see them get hit with some shots, and you're just like, they're crazy. I wouldn't want to be in there.
Throughout the years, I've been fortunate enough to speak with a lot of the, you know, premier face-off men like Alex Smith and, you know, Coach Gantabini up here at Stevenson. And they are, you know, they each had their own kind of practice regimens that they followed, unique tricks to them that they, at camps, they passed on. What do you do? How do you perfect your craft or work at it?
Yeah, we work a lot on, I mean, my stance is a little different than some guys. I face off with one knee down, which actually started to become really popular. You know, a lot more kids are starting to use it. I think my thing we focus on a lot here, Coach Caputo, who's works with our face off guys the most, is really once you win a draw, controlling the ball and trying to keep it in the back of your stick and not putting the ball on the ground and making it a ground ball. If you can kind of pinch it and keep it in the back, that's something we worked on a lot. It just helps you secure the ball a lot and try to take the wings out of it. You know, not make it a big scrum for a ground ball. If you can pinch it and keep it in the back,
right,
stick and carry it out. That's something we've worked on a lot here.
How many do you think you do a day?
Good amount. I do a lot before. You know, during practice, I pretty much practice like a regular midfielder. You know,
right,
up and down. I get out there early and get out there early. Do some. If we do man up, man down, I'll face up and I'll face up at the end. So, probably a good amount every day. I mean, live ones, like full go live ones, probably between 20 and 50 a day or so, something along those lines. But, I mean, a lot of other drills and stuff throughout.
How did you get into doing face-offs?
I just think when I was younger, you know, I kind of – on our like when I was playing PL lacrosse back in, like, 4th, 5th grade, we all kind of did it. I just had a little bit of a knack for it when I was younger. You know, whoever showed me a little something. That as I got older, I was just kind of good at it when I was younger. Worked with some people in high school. Kind of stayed with it, just became my thing. You know, I just kind of did when I was younger and had some success, so kept doing it as I got older.
Do you think your football experience kind of helps you with it? You know, like the shoulder to shoulder, the get in low, the tackle, some of those techniques, does that translate?
Yeah, I think absolutely it does. Definitely think that, and also my wrestling background from high school, I think being in awkward situations and kind of like balancing that, I think those two definitely carry over to it a lot.
Speaking of football, how much lacrosse did you miss because you guys were in a bowl game this year?
This year, I actually was the first year I wasn't able to play football because of my lacrosse scholarship. Some NCAA rule made me ineligible, but in the past, you know, it's been usually I've had like the year before we were in a bowl game, I had like a week till we got back. I mean, this year, literally the same thing. If I would have played, I would have had like 5 days till I was back. So it's how it was last year. So.
Huh, I'm sorry. I must have read the wrong thing online, you know, just looking at your background. I'm curious about you being a two-sport player. Do you think that helps each sport? I've spoken to so many, you know, coaches, parents, whatever, people associated with youth sports now that they're focusing these kids on one sport and they get burned out. Did you like having that relief, being able to, okay, now it's football season, to kind of take a step back?
Yeah, I liked, I definitely like playing, both sports just cause it keeps you balanced, you know, you don't get too burned out of one or the other, you know? Yeah, it's a good balance. You know, it's tough because obviously the people who play in an off season have an edge up on you cause they're playing you around. So maybe when you first get back, their skills are a little better than yours, obviously, but I mean, as long as you work hard and hop back into it, I think it helps. And I think sports just translate. You know, you're always competing. Kind of, I think the competition aspect of it there translates. So I think as much as it, in some ways it gives you a disadvantage, but in other ways it gives you an advantage, I think it, in overall, it weighs out. It's better to play. I'd rather play two than focus on one or two more sports than one. I just think it makes you
right.
a better, well-rounded athlete.
What's the athletic community like there at Duke? I know, you know, you're a Division I school, major school. But it's small comparatively to some place like, you know, Maryland or Syracuse or something. Is it a tight-knit community between all the athletes there?
Yeah, it is. No, we definitely all the athletes hang out. You know, everyone's kind of everyone's friendly. So, yeah, I think it's a really tight-knit group here. I have friends on all different teams. You know, we're always hanging out with other athletes. So it's definitely a tight-knit group here.
Even the basketball players?
Even the basketball players, yeah, we're tight with them. They're really good guys.
You ever see Coach K around campus?
I don't. Coach K does a good job of going incognito. I don't think I've seen him walking around once since I've been here, which sounds crazy. But I am pretty tight with all the kids who play. But I haven't seen him around too much.
Well, I can imagine the minute he would, you know, walk across the quad, it would just be a madhouse.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he gets swarmed. I bet you if he could walk around, I'm sure he would, but I think he would. I think he'd get jumped.
Do you fill out a bracket?
I have not yet. No. I'm on the bus trip down to Furman today. I'll probably check one out and look at it.
And you have Duke winning, right?
Have to. Got to.
How many basketball games do you get to go to a year?
I'd probably make it to one or two, maybe a year, something along those lines. It's usually what I end up making it to. Didn't get to make the UNC game this year, which stunk. I would have liked to go, but we were at Loyola. It was a Saturday beforehand, but usually one or two games a year we make it to.
But you've never camped out in Krzyzewskiville?
I have not camped out in Krzyzewskiville, no. No time with practice and school and all that. I don't have time to be camping out.
Few more things, just kind of logistical stuff. It seems like the season is starting earlier and earlier now in February. I mean, I want to say Delaware played February 2nd or something. Do you like that?
I personally do. I just like getting into games, you know. I think
as
much as you practice, you know, especially I think teams get better from playing games. You become better from playing games, no doubt. I think the earlier it starts, the better. I mean, especially if you have most kids who play once more, they have the whole fall, you know. You have a month or so when you're back. I think even though, you want to be prepared and have everything ready for your first game, I think getting into games early is a good thing. I think the more you play, the better. So I personally like it.
What do you think of the new ACC?
It's awesome. You know, it's going to be great. We have a bunch of big games coming up here. You know, we still have Syracuse, Notre Dame, Virginia, all them coming up. It's awesome, though. You know, I mean, like we said, you come here to play the best team in the country. You know, now you got six of the best, probably 10 teams, arguably, you know, in the country in the same conference. So it's definitely exciting. It'll be fun. It's definitely make the tournament and these games a lot bigger, you know, coming up.
Are you sad to see Maryland go?
Yeah, I always enjoyed playing them. You know, it was always scrappy playing them, but –
uh-huh.
You know, all the conference realignment, you know, we get Notre Dame and Cuse, we lose them. So, you know, it's good all around. You'd like to have all the top 10 teams in your conference. Personally, for me, I like playing all the best. But, yeah, it's nice to see them go. But, I mean, that's kind of how it is.
It seems like no matter what, the top, like you said, the top 10 teams in lacrosse, unlike in other sports, seem to do a really good job of scheduling each other perennially every year. I mean, Hopkins and Syracuse play basically every year, and they're not in the same conference. Well, Hopkins is an independent still. But it seems like, you know, you'll probably still, Duke and Maryland will find each other on the schedule someplace or another.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah, I mean, like I said, like we play Notre Dame every year. You know, now it's just making the ACC game just makes it that much better. We've played them every year we've been here. So, yeah, I mean, I think the good teams are going to run into each other regardless of they're in the same conference or not.
Last question, I'll let you go. Thanks for being so generous with your time.
No, not a problem.
Can we expect to see you guys back at Championship Weekend?
That's the plan. I mean, hopefully. We definitely have a lot of spots to improve in, you know, but I think we got a really hard-working group of guys. You know, definitely trust our coaching staff. They know what it takes to get there. You know, a lot of us have been there before, so hopefully.
That's all. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Have a good one.
You too. Take care.
All right, bye.